أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the Universe, the Master of the Day of Judgment. I bear witness and testimony to the oneness of Allah, to His magnificence, His omnipotence, His might, His glory, to His being the creator and sustainer of all things, the giver of life, the guider of hearts, the master of the day of judgment. And I bear witness to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and final messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all those who choose to tread in his path until the last day. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would habitually make amongst his practice a regular fast. That outside of the month of Ramadan, the beloved of Allah alayhi salam, he would find himself in places where he would commit himself to not eating or drinking or having any kind of physical intimacy during the daylight hours, whether it was the month of Ramadan or not. And as the month of Ramadan approached and it got closer and closer, the beloved of Allah alayhi salam, in anticipation of that most glorious month, that month of mercy, that month of compassion, that month of rahmah, the month of barakah, the month of Quran, the month that is so dear even to the hearts of you and I, that month in which each and every Muslim, whether during the rest of the year they are invigorated or not, they make a point of embracing their Islam. As it got closer, he knew that it was getting closer, and he was mindful of it, that he would let it enter into his mind, he would let it enter into his being, he would let it emanate into his practice, that the month of Ramadan is coming closer and closer and I need to be ready for it. Amongst the dua that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would make, he would make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, saying that, O Allah, Allahumma barak lana fi rajab wa sha'ban wa balaghna Ramadan. That, O Allah, make blessed for me this month of Rajab, the seventh month on our Islamic calendar, and this month of Sha'ban, the eighth month on our Islamic calendar, and allow for me to reach that beautiful month of Ramadan. Allow for me to again have the opportunity to fast during its daylight hours and to stand in prayer during its nighttime hours, asking of you, Ya Rab. Allow for me to again experience it. Allow for me to again engage it. Allow for me again to have the opportunity to increase myself internally and allow for myself to benefit those who are around me in that month, because it is a month unlike any other. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would begin making this dua 2 months prior to the month actually starting. That when the month of Rajab, which is now upon you and I as well, was upon the beloved of Allah alayhi salam, he was already in a state of mind saying that the month of Ramadan is coming. He knew that there was something that he should ready himself for, something he should prep himself for. He wasn't saying that in 60 days when the first night is upon me, then I will start to understand what its worth is. And it gives us a deep insight. When we go and we try to prepare ourselves for this blessed month of Ramadan, we go through the same rhetoric, we have the same discourse, we have the same conversations, and much of it doesn't really penetrate us on an individual basis. We are individuals who we don't really think with an air of foresight. Rather, we are people who, when we go through experiences after days and weeks, we then reflect upon them to make critical sense of them and say, this is why it made sense. I went through what I went through. A year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, perhaps I'll understand why I didn't get to marry the person I wanted to marry. down the line, maybe it'll make sense to me why I didn't get the job I wanted to have so badly, why I went through so many dire straits, why I had the sickness, the illness, the ailment, why my parents treated me in this way. Later on, after I have thought about it and reflected upon it, and I look in retrospect, in hindsight, then it'll make sense to me. But we have to move from being people who look only for the benefits in reflecting backwards, and be people who exert an air of foresight and think about what's coming in our future. We have to be individuals who are not looking backwards in regret, saying that I wish I had taken full opportunity and anticipated that which was coming into my hand. And we become those individuals who understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that all of us are shepherds and all of us are responsible for our sheep. We are given a different kind of analogy which really gives us an opportunity to reflect that as a sheep in that role which most assuredly all of us play, we are individuals who rely very heavily on the shepherd for guidance. That we find our strength not being by ourselves, because when we are alone we are susceptible to prey and predators. And we find our strength in being in the flock, being with others around us. And because we are sheep, we are limited in our ability to look far. We can only look in our immediate proximity. But when we take on an understanding of our role of a shepherd, we have to be the ones who look into the distance to protect those who are part of our flock. Whether they are one in number, they are tenfold in number, they exist in thousands, we can't think only in the immediate. We have to think about our decisions and our actions and how they will yield more decisions and more actions. There is a benefit to me thinking about what I have gone through. But there is also a benefit in me being able to think about what potentially I will go through. There is a benefit in me being able to sit and really understand I can't be an individual who seeks complacency. I want contentment, so I won't think for bandage kind of solutions to my problems. I'll think for long-lasting solutions to them. And if I think of only that which will give me a temporary fix, later on when it comes back in my face, what am I going to do? More often than not, we find ourselves in places and predicaments where we say, I wish I had done something different. I wish I had gone and taken advantage of this. I wish I had been somebody who had made this other choice, this other decision. And as we get towards the end of our lives, the regrets, they start to build up because we can't go back and change it. But what we are able to do is utilize moments of reflection, moments of contemplation, moments of understanding where we can go towards a period of self-actualization, which essentially the month of Ramadan ends up being. It gives us an insight into who we actually are and allows for us to aspire to be everything that we want to be. But I can start laying the foundation for it in this month of Rajab. And I can start building it up even more in the month of Sha'ban. And when I get to the first night of Ramadan, I'm already many, many steps ahead of where I would have been if I didn't do anything at all and waited for that first night to commence my activity. Start fasting now. Start fasting in these days if you can. If Allah Azza wa Jal has given you the ability to endure it, you are not someone who is ill or someone who has physical ailment as a result of fasting, start being somebody who fasts now. Where the Prophet ﷺ recommended to us different fasts as per his sunnah, that you can fast the middle days of the month, 3 days out of the month. You can fast on Mondays and Thursdays as we would do during the academic year, and we would provide iftars here. In the absence of us doing it here, take it upon yourself to provide iftar for those who you know are fasting on those days and use it as a means to encourage others to fast as well. You can fast as was the fast of the Prophet Dawood alayhi salam and fast every other day. There are many different things, you can even do a combination thereof, but there are things that you can do. Do it at your pace, but just do it. When we go through the month and it's an amazing experience for us, after the fact we say we wish it wasn't over. But the things that we are allowed to carry forth on after is not just a thoughtfulness or a mindfulness of I wish it was still Ramadan and we leave behind everything that we did in the month. You can still fast once the month is done. You can still read the Quran once the month is done. You can still pray in the masjid once the month is done. The thing that keeps you from doing it is you yourself. And individually, you start to make those decisions. But it's not a rhetoric that should be premised by, I wish I could have done this. It should be a conversation that starts today that says, inshallah ta'ala, I will do this. I will see what the benefit is of my days and hours ahead of me, and I will start to plan with a strategy how I will build myself physically, emotionally, and in turn spiritually so that I can be my potential best. And I'm not going to confine it to 30 days, as auspicious as they might be. I'm going to rear the best of it by bracing myself for it from now. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us when he makes this dua. He's getting it into the consciousness of all of his companions. He's putting it into our mind. Start getting ready. Be ready for what's ahead of you. Be ready for everything that's in front of you. Whether you are thinking of it even in the frame of Ramadan or not, don't live your days in such a way where you understand that it's just a day-to-day affair. There's a world after this world, and especially with the world in the next world, you want to think about what's going on in that context. And how you end up over there will have a direct relationship in terms of what you are doing here. And that regretful feeling, that feeling of somberness that says, I wish I could have been or I wish I could have done, you can't pass it away, it's something that will be there. But you can limit it, you can diminish it by taking advantage of being able to prepare for now. What will you do in the coming weeks? What will you do with the coming months? In the dua that the Beloved of Allah alayhi salam makes, he makes it with an understanding that perhaps he won't even reach the next month. And it's not for us to only focus on the fact that we want to be what we can be and make dua that says, Ya Rab, let us get to that point. Again, there's a deeper meaning in it. You don't know if you'll have those hours later on to do what you're fully able to do right now. And if you don't take advantage of it, it's just things that you will lose. And in your elder age, or in the days that you have limited in this world, when you sit and reflect, you're going to want to be able to have those things that were fully at your disposal, and the only thing that kept you from it was your choice and your decision. A woman who is a nurse, she wrote an article recently. She works very closely with people who are close to dying. And she says that the things that I hear these individuals say on their deathbed most commonly are five. She says that in terms of the regrets, the things that they wish they could have done, the things they wish they could have engaged in, there are five things that most commonly I hear these people say as they are entering into their last days. She says the first thing that they say is that I wish I had the courage to be who was true to me and not be what people expected me to be. That we fit ourselves into archetypes and stereotypes of what this world tells us we should be. And we deny ourselves a deeper and truer understanding of who we are, where we are, and what actually we want to use this life for. I dress a certain way because my boss wants me to. I go out to be in certain situations because if I don't, I feel I won't get the money that I get from my paycheck. When I'm sitting in my classroom and my heart is telling me that it's time for the Maghrib prayer, the Asr prayer, the Dhuhr prayer, I say that I will be embarrassed if I tell my employer, my professor, even the people who I'm studying with, I need to get up and go do something. What are they going to think of me? What are they going to think of me if I try to be myself? What are they going to think of me if I try to be who I want to be? Let me deny myself for what I am and try to just fit in. Your process of integration is more important than your process of assimilation. Give back to the society in terms of what is good from you. Take from it what is good from within it. But don't turn yourself into something that you don't even recognize. Many of the time when our students are here as they are graduating, I sit with them to ask them what their experiences are. Whether they are active in the community or not, just those who are Muslim to see what has your life been like in your 4, 5, 2, 7 years here at this university. And about 3 years ago, one young man who was not very active in the community, he did what he had wanted to do or what he was able to do. Within 2 minutes of speaking to him, the tears just started dripping from his face. He said that when I came here, I thought that I was going to be something that I haven't ended up being. That I needed to change who I was to fit in with the people who were around me. Day after day, I kept compromising and compromising, thinking that my popularity was what I wanted to have, thinking that acceptance was what I wanted to have. And now when I am leaving from this place, and these are people who I probably will never speak to again in my life, I don't even know who I am. And one of the hardest things for me to deal with is that I know these people are so good. Had I decided to be who I wanted to be, they still would have accepted me. But it was me, myself, who said I needed to be a certain way. I didn't have the strength to do what I thought I should do because I was assuming others wouldn't get me. And she says this is the first thing that most people regret that she has met who have limited days in this world. The second thing that she says she hears more often than not from people is that they wish they hadn't dedicated so much of their life to their work. And she says that I hear this mostly from men, but I hear it from women as well. That they spend so much of their days, so much of their week, so much of their life just in the office place dedicated to their work life. They don't spend time with their children. They don't spend time with their spouses. They don't spend time engaging in relationships that will be healthy for their own development. And when they get to a place, when they look back and reflect on everything that they had done with their lives, they say that, what did I really do with my time? I sat in an office and I just pushed papers. I benefited those who were wealthy to get more money. And at the expense of what? Playing a sport with my young son? Letting somebody in a Sunday school teach my child how to pray when I fully could have done it? Not engaging in the relationships that I would have derived benefit from because I thought I needed a certain lifestyle to have what I wanted. I needed the income to get it. Cut back on some of the things that require for you to spend that many hours in that place, especially in preparation and anticipation of the month of Ramadan. Because when that sun is up, you should be fasting, and when that sun is down, you should be praying, and there is no meeting, there is no deadline, there is no examination that is more important than that. Especially when you are in an age where you can take it all on. Thirdly, she says that one of the biggest regrets these people have, the ones who are about to leave from this world, is that they never really expressed what they were feeling inside. And it's not just in terms of positive emotions that if I have a certain kind of attachment to someone, I tell them that I care for them, I want to be with them, I want to spend time with them, have a relationship with them. But even those feelings that hurt us inside that we don't have outlets for, that we don't verbalize or vocalize, we allow for ourselves to keep them inside until we turn into bitter and jaded individuals who hate everything around us because we haven't spoken about that which we have kept inside of us. Don't carry that pain or that hurt with you until your last days in this world. Be somebody who is able to find companionship, who is able to find mentorship with somebody that you trust, and let it come out. Because the worst thing is when you have gone through those experiences and you keep them inside, you talking only to yourself start to intertwine them with doubt, and you believe that you deserve many of the things that most assuredly you didn't deserve in the way that you were treated. And you start to regret, you start to hate, you start to be bitter. And it has an effect on who you are in terms of your faith, your Islam, and just your personality. Express it, let it out. Fourthly, she says that these people, they regret not keeping in touch with their companions, those who were their friends, those that they had close relationships with. That the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he was in a situation where he most assuredly had his companions. He had people that he engaged, he had people that he had laughter, and he had people that he had moments of excitement with. Being in touch with people is not that I engage them through social media networks or I engage them through the internet or online. That is not a real relationship. You need to be somebody who calls your friend, who calls your brother, who calls your sister, says that let us sit down and have a meal together, let us stand in the ranks of the believers side by side with our hearts beating in unison as we lay prostrate to Allah Azzawajal. Let us have some kind of real contact. There are people who care about you and have cared about you throughout your days. Don't lose your relationship with them. And build it in anticipation, because that regret is the worst regret. And then lastly, she says that the biggest regret that these people have is that they didn't allow for themselves to be happy. We believe that when we are depressed, we believe that when we are angry or agitated or sad, that it is outside of our hands. But many of us choose to adopt lifestyles and choose to engage in a certain way, knowing that it weighs heavy on our hearts, but we just won't let it go because of the security, the familiarity, and the comfortability of it. If it's something that is causing you a discontentment, reanalyze whether you need to really have it in your life. Because we as a Muslim community, we are not healthy on the inside. We are not okay on the inside. We engage in the mechanics, we go through the motions. So many of us find ourselves in a place that we don't even pray because we feel nothing from it, but we still fast. Understand where you are at. Utilize this month of Rajab to analyze it. Build it up in the month of Sha'ban. And when you get to the month of Ramadan, that most beautiful month, and inshallah ta'ala, Allah Azzawajal will give each and every one of us the tawfiq to see it again and again and again and make it a means of benefit for us, not only in this world, but in the next. Be at your best. Be at your potential best when it comes. Don't wait for that first night, for that first day of fasting. Start your fasting from today. Start your reading of the Quran from today. Start engaging yourself in visiting the masjid today. Be generous with your giving from today. Invite people into your homes for meals from today. Put yourself in a place where you open up your doors to the community from today. Don't wait just for those 30 days. And it'll be that much more impactful, that much more meaningful when you're able to observe it, inshallah ta'ala, within the next coming months. But you don't have to wait for it. You don't have to say that I'm only going to put myself in that place from that first day. Where even the beloved of Allah alayhi salam would make dua saying to Allah Azza wa Jal, then make blessed for me this month of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow for me to reach that month of Ramadan, Ya Rabb. Because he knows how important it is. And he doesn't want to have that moment where he sits back and he reflects and says, I wish I could have done it differently. Be people who utilize retrospect and hindsight to gain and benefit and deepen in your wisdom. But also, we need to become people who utilize a sense of foresight. Not saying that I wish I could have done this differently, but saying to ourselves that I will do this in the coming days so that I can reach and rear my potential best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. May He bless us with knowledge that benefits us. May He bless us with a tawfiq to understand and implement that knowledge into our daily lives. And may He guide and bless us all. Wallahu ta'ala alam wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.